Well, our scripture is going to come, start from Luke 1, actually. I think, as I recall how this all happened, not Diane's fault at all, I was looking to write down the scripture, and my eyes went, if you have a pew Bible, it went up to the upper left-hand corner, and I saw the 21 first. So that's why it says Luke 21, but it's actually Luke 1 that we're going to come to. You want this one? Okay. Luke 1, starting with the 46th verse. Luke 1. Mary's song, reading from the scripture. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble servant, a humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." I would pray and I would wish that that song would be the song that every woman could sing at the notification, at the understanding that she is going to have a child. That joy would be there for each one. And for those of you that have been blessed as mothers, maybe that was your song. I like how she starts it in that, you know, just, I am blessed. I want to bring glory to God. And then she honors God throughout the whole thing. Now, having been a child of a mother, I realize I have not always been an integral part of the joy side of the motherhood. But I think in the beautiful poem reading that we had during open worship, I think we realize that it's a process, that it takes time. So we pray again for all future mothers to have this song. But we need to pray for conditions to be such so they can feel that. Now, obviously, Mary's condition was not the most, well, it doesn't come to mind as best as how you want to start out, because you're very young, you're going to have a child, you have no husband, and so even out of that situation, there can be joy, there can be understanding, but it was because of her close relationship with God that she was able to come to understanding. So we, like I say, pray for all mothers that this could be the song of glory, the song of joy, song of fulfillment, the song of help. It's just a great way to look at it. And yet, because we get to look backwards, we see this young girl's song and hear it, but we know that the finale that she sings is much different. There's a lot of stuff in between. And again, out of the reading and out of some reading I'm going to have here, there's a lot that goes on in being a mother and in God giving that special condition. So I think it's good that we had the more serious side, because some of this stuff that I'm going to give isn't so serious, but hopefully tends to get us to think about the lighter side of motherhood as well. Because it is teaching every day, you know, the end of the day where the mother sees, oh, what I've taught, what I've learned, what goes on. We have in our house some books, and perhaps some of you might as well. They're called Mommalies, things that, as my mother used to say, and shock of shocks, those of you that are now mothers know that's what you say, what your mother used to say. And so much popular that it came back with more Mommalies. So these are fun things to look back at just randomly. There's a section called Running Away, How many of you had your children run away? Okay. How many of you ran away? I can still remember the day that Linda and Lucinda were going to run away. They said, "We've had enough of this. We're out of here." I think they were all of 3 years old at the time. And so you can imagine how tough life was, you know, at 3 years old. So they were talking about it, and they decided they're going to do it. And they came to Mom and said, "We're running away." And she said, "Okay, I'll help you pack." And I go, I was just shocked. How could my mother even think of doing that? They're leaving us. They're going. What are we going to do? How will I face my friends at school? This is really about me, you know. So Mom's helping them. "Well, don't you think you want to have these certain clothes?" "Well, yeah." And so she's helping them pack their clothes. And they're in a little Barbie suitcase thing, so it's about this big. "Well, won't you want some lunch, honey? Because you get hungry if you're walking a long way." So they made a little lunch, and they put in there. And I watch as they go out the door and around the corner, behind the garage, eat their snack, and come back home. So with running away, the mother says, "Is that a threat or a promise?" "Good, I'll pack you a lunch." That's what my mom did. "If you leave," and this one is a serious one, "if you leave, it's easy to show me your back. But when you come back, you have to show me your face." Yeah. So anyway, things that mother taught. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. And the quote is, "If you're going to kill each other, go outside. I just finished cleaning the house." My mother taught me religion. "You better pray that comes out of the carpet." My mother taught me logic. "Because I said so, that's why." Mom would use, for quite some time, until I was older, "Because I'm bigger than you are." My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. "Shut your mouth and eat your dinner." Okay. My mother taught me about contortionism. "Will you look at the dirt at the back of your neck?" Okay. My mother taught me about stamina. "You'll sit there till you eat all of your spinach." Mine was tomatoes. I remember once I sat, and you know, tomatoes just don't get any better the longer you wait. Yeah. My mother taught me how to solve physics problems. "If I yelled because I saw a meteor coming towards you, would you listen then?" My mother taught me about hypocrisy. "If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate." My mother taught me about envy. "There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have a wonderful parent like I am." My mother taught me about anticipation. "Just wait till we get home." My mother taught me ESP. "Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold?" My mother taught me humor. "When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me." My mother taught me about wisdom of age. "When you get to be my age, you will understand." And I think that's probably the greatest thing that we don't often understand. And perhaps your mother wished upon you the thing that my mother wished upon me. I just pray that when you're a father, you have a child just like you. I'm blessed enough to say I have. Well, love is passed down. Love we need to learn and experience. If you want to look at with me at 2 Timothy. We're in the first chapter. and Paul sharing with Timothy. So from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Sybil and in your mother Alice. I would wonder if you could all place within that scripture your mother and your grandmother, to realize that the legacy of love is passed on. And it's not an easy thing. It's not something that just comes naturally. You have to be intentional about it. You have to think about wanting to share those things. Obviously, you're going to, again, share through the testimony of your actions, but to live out the faith. So yeah, can you please put your mother and your grandmother in there? It sounds a little different when you do that, but it relates the legacy of love that has to take place. And it changes in a way. I'm really, because she is my mother, I speak of my own personal condition, and she is here, so I'm trying to choose words carefully. But also to honor her for the things she did. You know, many people said, after we were all through college, said, yeah, your mother needs a medal. Well, probably more than that, but, you know, perseverance takes place. Now, the legacy of love is not always the same, because I said through grandmother Sybil, and Sybil was a wonderful woman, caring and loving, and yet, this is not to put disparaging words upon a particular line of faith, but grandma was a Baptist, and she talked about hell a lot, in very tough terms. And so it was a different way of looking at God. And I think, saying sort of mom's words, mom wanted to learn about the love of God. I'm so appreciative of the choice of songs, because that's a song that Paul sings when mom plays. And a lot of days when she was trying to get us up in the morning, she would play The Love of God on the organ. So I think is when, she'd play like The Love of God. If you heard the next tune, Never Give Up, that was meant you better get out or mom's coming up. But anyway, we need to bring that legacy of love. And mom tried to always present a God, a loving God, a God that wanted to keep you from hell, not to threaten you with it, not to, because it is there, but to encourage love within yourself so that you can carry it out to other people. So we try to do that, and I trust that you that are parents will do that to your children, your grandchildren, because you are showing them the way to go. I don't want to end the message, you know, in a manner of tragedy, but again, you think of Mary's song and Mary's hope and her dream. I think she knew even then, because she was a person of faith, she knew what the Messiah was to do, who he was to be, what was going to happen. So we had it beautifully depicted here a while ago when Brianne sang the song. We had up on the screen the look of the young mother and the joy of feeling the child. And then we had the mother watching her son die. What a contrast, but it's all the same. So I do not know, obviously, what goes on. For those of you that suddenly feel life within you. And you know from the moment the cord is cut that there's separation going to take place. That intricate, complicated, beautiful connection that is there starts to be a separation. So we thank you, and we pray that you would continue to nurture, to be a legacy of love from your generations and on. Again, that's something that was in Mary's song. It talked from generation to generation, from our forefathers, from every, you know, from the past, move it forward. But to know that you're loved, that we're thankful for perseverance, for hanging in there when the kids don't come home on time, for hanging in there when things get spilled. Dinners are delayed, and I'm trying to avoid that so that you can be on time, have it warm. But blessings to you, and may it be blessings for the future generations, that they may sing Mary's song and know the joy and love of God. Amen.